Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cavs, go!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by Andy. How's your week treating you, Andy?
Hey, what's up? Pretty good. Doing well. Thanks.
Do you like that new intro that we have there from Ian from Montreal's Kids?
I got a big kick out of it. That was awesome. Thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, I like their little accents. I dig it. It made me laugh when he sent that to me. I really enjoyed it. It brightened up my day. And now it brightened up everybody else's day. So full disclosure, we're recording this on Wednesday evening before the Cubs-Giants game. So at the time of this recording, the Cubs have a 6-game winning streak going on, and they're 22 games over 500. So let's let that sink in. 22 games over 500. 22 games over 500. It was less than a month ago that they were 5 games over 500.
Yeah, that really, you know, brings it into stark relief for us. There's a guy named, or whose Twitter handle is @frustratedfan. I saw him tweet today. There have only been 5 teams that have made it to 22 over 500 in his lifetime. This guy was born in 1970. And one was the 77 team. So you've had, what, 5 teams in your life, Corey? And I've had 4 in my lifetime, including this year's, that have made it to 500 to 22 over 500 in our lifetime.
Yeah. This is so crazy. And it is such like, Andy, can you think of a Cubs team that has been more fun to watch and that you like more than this team?
I can't. I mean, I got to imagine if I could have appreciated the 84 team more. I mean,
yeah,
it probably would have been pretty entertaining, but I mean, I wasn't at a point in my life where I could. I was still out in the woods playing guns with sticks with my friends. So, yeah, I can't think of it. This is so fun. Okay. I cannot stress just how fun it is to watch.
And really, this was a very fun team before this. What are they? 21-4 in their last 25 games. I think that's what it is.
That's right.
I mean, even before that, this was such a fun team. And I think what makes them especially fun is that they're so young. There's so many young kids. And yeah, we talked at the beginning of the season that it could happen that these guys just go out and play dumb. They don't know. They don't know to lose. They don't know the, you know, it almost feels like that 2007, 2008 team. Like that was kind of built up with free agents, and it was built up with players that were probably well aware and had seen, you know, a lot of those players were probably around for 2003. Whereas these guys were probably what, in like elementary school in 2003. And so it's just like, I think that with that 2007, 2008 team, they knew the history. They knew, you know, and it's just like these Cubs don't know. They're just, and I think Schwarber even made some comment yesterday after the game.
He did, yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but
something
basically
to the effect of, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I think if there is a team to just be able to shed the history, the whole freaking curse, the whole everything like that. If there is a team to
weight of everything.
Right,
yeah.
I think if there is a team that can shed that, I'm not saying like necessarily they will win the World Series, but I think that they can shed that at least for themselves this season without winning at all. you know, that I don't think they're going to believe a curse is what keeps them from winning. But I think if there is a team to do it, it's a team full of like 22-year-olds.
Yeah, no doubt. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, because these are guys that are just going out there and trying to succeed in their, you know, their first glimpses of the big leagues, and they're doing it. They're getting a lot of self-efficacy as they go, and I don't think they really think too much about the weight of history and things like that as they're trying to navigate their, you know, for some of them, their first big league seasons.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I talked earlier in the season about how I wanted them to hit these different record benchmarks. You know, I said, let's get to 5 games over .500 and then 10 games, you know, get to those levels and then don't go below, you know, kind of work your way up. But I mean, less than a month ago, there were 5 games over .500 and now 22. I mean, it's so crazy. I mean,
we were going to be so happy to see 500 ball.
Seriously.
At least please, not happy necessarily, but.
Right.
At least satisfied, content. I suppose.
Content.
Yeah.
Yeah. My preseason prediction of 83 wins was way wrong, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I know. Heck yeah. I'd love to be proved wrong on that thing. But, you know, one thing I saw on our Patreon supporters Facebook group today was Taylor posted that the Cubs have matched last year's win total with 38 games left to play.
Yeah.
that's just bonkers.
Right. Yeah, man. I'll tell you.
But yeah,
and last year wasn't even like the worst, you know?
No.
Like 2012, 61 wins. I believe it was 2012 with 61 wins. And we're going to actually talk about 2012 later. But man, it's just so much fun. And the fact that like the way that they won Sunday's game with that Chris Bryant walk off and doing it against Kluber, and that was the Kluber game, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, I just love that they are having, how do I word this? I guess I just really enjoy them outlasting the top pitchers for the different teams, the different aces. You know, I think that they've done that. The Mets have very good pitching, and the Cubs just beat the crap out of them. And I think we have a lot of really big tests coming up this week. But I think that if you look at Sunday's game, that kind of showed you how they do it. If they can drive up the pitch count and get that person out, you know, get that pitcher out, and then, you know, just and the pitching and defense plays well, they can just kind of pull it off, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the pitching has been good enough, you know, to kind of help them outlast, you know, really good pitchers from other teams. And, you know, for the month of August, you know, it's the offense really that's got them to this point, because the pitching has been good, not great. It's been serviceable, but the offense has just been ridiculous. But, you know, I just like, I've been enjoying, I tweeted the other day that it's pretty stunning right now, just open the August calendar view of their schedule and just see all the W's on there.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so stunning. But, just some numbers for August. I mean, in all of baseball, the Cubs are number one in slugging percentage at .505. They're number two in OPS at .850 for the month of August. One big reason for that is the Cubs have 40 homers in August.
Right. So they have, I believe it's 57 home runs since the All-Star game. Maybe it's 55. It's either 55 or 57 home runs since the All-Star game.
Yeah, and 40 of those have come in August.
Yeah, so
and that leads all teams for the month of August.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So
a little bit of a point of reference, the Giants, the Cubs' current opponent, have 22 for August.
Yeah, and you know what? That's how you get rid of the one-run wins. It's just to freaking knock the ball. Maybe not out of the ballpark, maybe just in the basket. That's all you need to do.
Which, yeah, they've done that several times.
Yeah, the Cardinals fan that I work with, he was actually at Saturday's game up at Wrigley, and he was like, oh yeah, they built this team for for Wrigley, just poke it in the basket. That's all they are.
Right.
I was like, hey, whatever.
And they also don't the Cubs have the best road record in the NL?
I'm not sure, but I would believe
right that. Right behind the Cardinals, perhaps. But yeah, they only play well at Wrigley. Right, I mean, they have like one of the best road records in baseball.
Well, I think until we can win in St. Louis, you know, the Cardinals fans around us are not going to buy, or until we beat them in October.
Sure.
But we talked about the home runs, and here's some numbers. Since the All-Star game, Schwarber has 11 home runs, Rizzo has 9, Bryant has 8, Coughlin has 7, and Fowler has 6. So that's in like between 35 and 37 games. So in like 35, 36, something like that games, Schwarber has 11 home runs and a rookie.
That's ridiculous.
That was called up late.
Yeah, so I mean, they're, you know, obviously the slugging percentage is super high, and that's, you know, that's the major contributing factor. But the OPS, I mean, another big contributor to that number is that the Cubs are second in the league in August with 79 walks as well.
Yeah.
So like you said, I mean, they're driving up opposing pitchers' pitch counts. They're having good at bats for the most part. I mean, just look at Castro alone. I mean, he has fewer at bats than he normally would. He has like 50 or something for August, but he's hitting 300. And he seems to be kind of finding his way a little bit more. And
did you say so, Castro? Yeah, just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Castro.
Yeah. So he has in his last 15 games, he has a 314 batting average in his last 15 games. So that's raised his batting average to 244.
So he's, you know, he's working his way back up there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 244 is ugly, but to be hitting 314 in his last 15 games, I'll take that. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. What was it? Maybe two or three episodes ago, I talked about how we would like Bryant to be, you know, on the north side of 250 for a batting average. He was, I think at the time he was like 249, 247, somewhere in there. In the last 15 games, he's batting 339. And in the last 15 games, his OBP is 483.
Oh, wow. Gee whiz.
Then in the last 7 games, his batting average is 423, and he's got 4 home runs.
Wow. Talk about locked in.
Yeah. So now his batting average is up to 263. But man,
I saw a little bit of, then go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, how fun was his walk off on Sunday?
Oh man, that was so fun because, that was the game where Lester looked like he was going to go have a complete game. He was down to just needing one out in the ninth and gave up the tying run. And so it was an incredible performance by him, but it was a little deflating as it looked like they were going to win the game there. And so it was one of those things where you get a little bit down and then all of a sudden there's the pick me up not far on the heels of that little deflation.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been fantastic to watch in August in particular.
So the home runs, I'm going to go back to that again. The insane amount of home runs that they're hitting. And I believe that the 2015 Cubs may run Duffy's out of business.
Yeah, there's a good chance. We were there, of course, on Saturday. It was like fortune or fate almost didn't want us to be at Duffy's on Saturday as several buildings right next door basically burned down over that weekend.
And Duffy's, just, we kind of talked about how Duffy's, like the bartenders just probably like blew the soot out of the pitchers. And
yeah, it didn't smell any different.
No, it really didn't.
But yeah, so they have a free beer, basically a free round, I guess, however you want to put it, for anytime the Cubs hit a home run.
Right. Yeah. So we were there for our IVMV weekend at the lake. Tad and Monica joined us there, and Michael from Galesburg, of course. And so let's see, our group, we drank 5 pitchers of Old Style. And Andy, would you like to share what our total bill was for those 5 pitchers?
Yeah, five full, you know, filled to the brim pitchers with delightful Old Style cost $15.
five
You'd be lucky to get one for $15, you know, in a big city.
Right. At Wrigley, an old style would, you know, if they even sell old style anymore, I don't really seek it out when I'm there, I guess, but
$8.50 probably something like that.
We benefited from the home runs that the Cubs were hitting that day. What did they hit? Like four, like in fact, we turned one down. We turned around down. Remember that at the very end? We were like, nope, we're good.
I forgot that we did that.
He points over. You guys want another pitcher? No, we're good.
Oh yeah, but
it was coming to us. It was free. We thought about asking for it to go, but
So the Cubs had four homers in that game. So yeah, we had three free pitchers, I think. No, two free pitchers.
Yeah, we had two.
And so we must have turned two of them down.
Yeah, we must have.
Because he was giving us a full pitcher for each homer. Well, man. Anyway.
So we could have had five pitchers for $10 if we would have been paying attention, I suppose, if we hadn't drank five pitchers.
Darn it. Yeah. $5 down the drain.
Yeah. Okay. So, but they've just been silly here in the month of August. We went over the home runs and some of the other offense stuff. Is there anything else that stands out to you in the month of August for this team, Andy?
No, I mean, that's the main thing, is the pitching just sufficient and, you know, doing well enough to keep them in the game. And then the offense is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's the batting has given the pitching, the offense has given the pitching a lot of breathing room. And so, which is good, because I think guys like Hendricks, Heron, and Hamill, the three, Triple H, they've kind of needed it, because they haven't been absolutely brutal. But post All-Star game, Hamill has an ERA of 4.86, Hendricks is 5.30, and Heron is just over 6. So it's good that they're, you know, putting up a ton of runs, and those leads have given Madden the ability to rest them too, and pull them when they start to get into trouble, and really just kind of like save some innings on their arms.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm a little disappointed then, you know, given how well the offense has played. It seems like Jorge Soler was starting to get things on track, and then he, of course, goes down with an injury. So that's a little frustrating, given the fact that he did seem to be getting a little bit more locked in at the plate.
Yeah, that was a blow, and kind of like out of nowhere, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be gone for probably about a month, and he has an oblique strain.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, those are pretty nagging injuries. In fact, I think, isn't that what LaStella has been basically working, I think?
Right, yes. Yep.
So I mean, that's a blow for sure. I'll just go ahead and mention now that, you know, Jason Mott also went on the 15-day DL, but it's for about a month, a shoulder strain.
Yeah. It sucks to see. I mean, although it doesn't like kill the team or anything like that, I mean, you know, I've actually kind of enjoyed watching him pitch this year. We're a month away from, you know, the roster's expanding, and the bullpen will not be an issue at that point. Right. It's not a huge thing. Obviously, Soler is the bigger loss there.
For sure.
I do want to jump back. We were talking about pitching, and I think we kind of went from the fact they were scoring a lot of runs into Soler, but how about, man, freaking Jake Arrieta?
Yeah. Oh man, I do not want to miss a start of his.
No.
Ever, because he's fun to watch.
Yeah, so in it, I think this is since the All-Star game. He's 6-1 with a 1.20 ERA, and opponents are hitting 176 off of him. I mean, he's been crazy good, but you know, just I just wanted to mention how good he's been. But a few minutes ago, I did talk about how, you know, that they aren't really you know, being forced into these one run games, these close games, that the offense is giving them so much breathing room, which really probably helps, you know, starting pitching like Hendricks, Heron, and Hamill, that probably can't. I don't know. Do you think that a pitcher performs better when there's I mean, for instance, look at Samardzija when he was with the Cubs, when the Cubs gave him no offense and no run support, he pitched pretty well. And then when the Cubs scored runs, it seemed like he gave up runs. But I don't know. I'm sure there's some, you know, some measurements out there that kind of indicate whether or not a pitcher does better under pressure or with little run support, you know, actually lets up fewer runs, or if they get a lead, they kind of like maybe let their guards down a little bit. But so in this 21,
it probably depends like a little bit on personality too, like just disposition and, you know, the makeup of a player, I think a little bit for that. And Arrieta seems like such a gamer,
right,
that almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. So in this stretch of the Cubs having a 21-4 record, only six of those 21 wins were one run wins. And, you know, it really feels like we saw them in a lot more close games in the first half of the season. And that's when we were saying, like, hey, at some point this offense is going to warm up. They're going to get hot, and they're going to hit a bunch of home runs, and they're going to score a ton. And that's where, you know, that those one run wins, and I don't remember their record, but it seems like they had an above 500 record in those one run games. And, you know, those make a big difference. Those are valuable wins right now. So
for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. You know what? I kind of feel bad. Like it just kind of dawned on me when I mentioned Heron's, you know, ERA and stuff like that. That was actually including some games that he pitched with Miami before he went to the Cubs. So
may have
been a little bit of a misrepresentation. But let's see. I don't know. I think this week and this weekend are really important. And I'm feeling really confident with this team, and their playoff odds are what, like almost 94%. Like, I'm feeling good. But I think if they can keep cruising like they're doing right now, especially against the top notch pitching in baseball, like with Bumgarner and Greinke and Kershaw, that would be so impressive. You know, I think if they could go out and like beat those three guys, I wouldn't really be able to control myself.
Right. And then, I mean, if they're able to play at a great level in this, you know, the remainder of this Giants series, the Dodgers series coming up, but then also able to guard themselves against a potential letdown against the Reds and the Diamondbacks, the series after that,
right,
I think it might be kind of dangerous.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, for them to play these teams that are kind of low and have nothing to lose, you know?
Right.
And then after those games, they head into their Cardinals and Pirates, you know, stretch, the Cardinals and Pirates stretches of September. So, and the Cardinals series in September they're away to begin with. And then they play them later at home.
But you know, this doesn't really feel like a team that's going to have a letdown against lesser competition.
Yeah. Well, I felt like that going into that Phillies series, though.
That's true, but this is a different team than that Phillies series. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, yeah, this is totally different. And, you know, like we mentioned, the rosters will expand. And, you know, even I hate to say this because I'll be proven wrong and look like an idiot and feel stupid, but I think even a Cubs, the way this team is constructed, a letdown against a team like the Reds, I still think the Cubs are a much superior team.
Yeah.
Even like cruising at like 80%, I think they're significantly better, but
especially after these teams having been gutted by
right.
the trade deadline right. and stuff like that.
I really would have liked to have seen the Reds lose Chapman, but I guess that's not happening. So you mentioned Soler and Mott going to the DL. So the moves to replace their spots on the roster, the Cubs called up Roskopf and La Stella. So Roskopf, you know, lefty reliever. We've seen him off and on over the last few years. He's pitched in 26 games for the Cubs this season. That really surprised me. I couldn't remember him pitching that much. But
yeah, it's kind of shocking now that you mentioned that.
Yeah, but so he has a 4.30 ERA. I don't know, whatever, you know, lefty reliever, whatever. I don't, I can't get too up or down about Roskopf. And then La Stella, who is definitely hashtag ASG worthy. we're going to finally see that ASG worthiness here at the end of August. So just a refresher, La Stella was sent over to the Cubs in the Aroldis Vizcaino trade with the Braves. And he was kind of expected to be in the mix to play some third base and some second base to start the season, but then went down with that oblique injury that you mentioned, Andy.
Yeah.
And it had him down a long time. It took a long time to recover from that. And so he was rehabbing. He rehabbed with Tennessee and Iowa for a total of 19 games. So he's been up with the Cubs for 4 games now at the time of this recording. And with Addison Russell having a baby and a tender groin, I'm guessing those two situations are unrelated. La Stella has gotten some playing time. And I think overall he's some depth to give some of these rookies some time off. You know, these rookies are playing more than they've ever played in one season. So I think ideally we don't see La Stella on a daily basis. And I think that we'll probably see him even less when Javier Baez is called up. And really that's just because, I guess I'm not down on La Stella. I just think that, you know, we're cruising in towards the end of the season. And I think other players have kind of, obviously stolen the spotlight. I mean, not that La Stella really ever had the spotlight, but I guess what he offered the Cubs was a lot more valuable in, say, April than it is right now. And he wasn't there in April, so.
Well, sure, and it's never fun necessarily to watch a guy who is a bench player get every day, you know, kind of become an everyday player for a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we want to see the guys who are going to be the guys, you know?
Right. And I think that we will, but it's really good, I think, to give, to have some bench players there to give these guys some rest, because I think they're going to need it. So, okay. So there were some other additions to the roster. Andy, why don't you get us started with Quentin Berry?
Yeah, you know, I might as well talk about our old buddy Bonifacio and Quentin Berry in the same little bit here, little segment, because it appears that they're both being brought in for basically the same reason. They're guys that have, you know, the speed tool, and it looks like the Cubs could use a guy like that, you know, in September and for a postseason run to be able to have a guy that can be a pinch runner, can come in late in the game when they need a threat on the base paths. One of these guys could be that guy. Berry's is an outfielder. He last played in the big leagues for, you know, like a season's length with the Tigers a couple of years ago. And he really doesn't bring much to the table outside of speed. But that being said, the guy has 35 steals in AAA this season. So he could be, you know, pretty darn good guy to bring in just to make the opposing pitcher have something to think about, get a guy on base late in a game, and it's a tight game. Could be a difference maker. Bonifacio, we got to kind of catch a couple glimpses of him as with the Crosstown series, you know, a little while back. He's had a rough season with bad numbers. He's had injuries for the White Sox. But if you remember back to 2014, I mean, we kind of enjoyed what we saw from him, and he had a little bit of success with the Cubs. And he didn't even play the full season. He But during his time with the Cubs in 2014, he had 14 steals. And
when he got off to a great start at the beginning of the season.
Right. And he hit safely in 15 straight or something like that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, I mean, it just looks like these guys are going to be there in AAA here for their minor league deals. And we'll see if, you know, either of them even, if we even see them.
Yeah, you know? I think we'll probably see them when rosters expand. And just for that late game speed. And, Bonifacio can play a lot of defensive positions too. So we might see him at the end of the game come in. And I think we saw him play center field and second base last year, if I remember right. So I don't know. I like these moves because I think it's just been fun to watch. You know, we've just been like since this front office took over, it's just been, you know, retooling and trading away talent and everything like this. And it's really been fun to watch them at different points in the season, like have like clear objectives and clear things that they're going for. And with those two moves, it's like, oh, they're thinking speed. They're thinking pinch runners.
Right. Isn't that nice, they're not bringing in Bonifacio because they need somebody to play second base every game, right, you know, or something right. like that. I mean, they're bringing him in solely just for that one tiny facet of a baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So, anything else you wanted to say about those guys?
No, although, I mean, Bonifacio seems to be a good clubhouse presence from what I could tell too, you know, and, you know, a veteran compared to some of these other players. I just hope he doesn't bring back Lovista.
Oh, you know, he will. So the Cubs also signed another veteran, Trevor Cahill, to a minor league deal. So, Cahill's a former All-Star. He has 201 major league appearances, pitching appearances. 173 of those were starts. He's been with the Braves and Dodgers organizations this year. He's pitched in two games for Iowa since being signed. Really just basically kind of a low-risk signing of a veteran. Well, we may see him in September. Will he be productive? I probably wouldn't hold my breath.
I'm not holding mine.
Yeah, but and that's, we've seen the Cubs kind of bring in some bullpen pieces like this, and at some point one of them may work out. I don't know. But
that's just the thing. I mean, they're just grabbing pieces that could kind of fill in any gaps that show up or that they have.
Right. Yep. So that's Trevor Cahill. I don't think there's much of a need to spend much time on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as an old house settles, you start to see the cracks in the masonry and stuff like that. And so these guys could fill in some of those cracks.
There you go. Chris Bryant and Schwarber. These guys are like an old house just settling. This 2015 Cubs team is just an old house settling.
It's the worst metaphor ever.
Oh, man.
The season is aging, though. I mean, it's... We're getting into the twilight of the season, so
sure. Okay.
I don't mind it. I stand by it.
All right. Okay. On this episode, I want to talk about how the way that this team is celebrating and having fun. We talked about Strope's reaction in that game against the White Sox, the double fist pump. We also saw Strope running alongside Bryant with his walk off, which I thought was hysterical. I loved it.
Big kick out of it.
You know, this team is young and they're having fun and they're starting to build some confidence. And I think we're starting to hear other teams' fans kind of complain that the Cubs are being kind of cocky, maybe, quote unquote, not doing things the right way, playing the game the right way. I'm kind of wondering what all of you think about it. So we'd like your voicemails on this topic. And then we will play them at the end of Sunday night's episode. The last topic that we asked about was the whether or not you don't want to see the Cubs play the wild card game on the road or at home. And we have quite a few voicemails to play for that, to play about that. And so we'll play those at the end of the episode. But I'm kind of curious I think there are some Cubs fans out there that don't like the just kind of what, and this is just a trend in baseball. You know, you're hearing this discussion baseball wide about new baseball, you know, the new, I guess I don't even know how to describe. I'm at kind of at a loss for words here, Andy. You want to help me out?
Just a new attitude or new method of conducting oneself while at work. Right. You know, I don't feel like the Cubs are quite on the radar for this reason as much as some other teams, like the Astros recently getting a little bit of national focus because of some of their actions. But still at the same time, I mean, you think about it, like if you're at your job and you're kind of not having very much fun, you're maybe hating life that day, and then you see somebody else that has a buoyancy to them and like appears to be kind of like an unsinkable spirit, can be pretty irritating.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, that's sort of the effect that the Cubs could be having on other teams that maybe aren't having as much fun. Like say their seasons are basically over and then the Cubs come in, they're having a blast.
They draw a walk and rub their helmet and
right. Well, I mean, like that picture with the guys wearing the old timey, like middle age knight helmets in the dugout. Yeah, I could see why stuff like that might be agitating to other teams.
So what do you think about it, Andy?
Some fans too. Ooh. You know, I think you do have to, on the one hand, you do have to be careful about unnecessarily showing up the other team with your antics. But then at the same time, I mean, it seems to be a key component to the reason to this team's success, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Is the fact that they are playing in kind of a loose way and keeping things light as much as it can be when you're under as much scrutiny as a Major League Baseball team and Major League players are.
Yeah. I think if you haven't read, I would assume almost anybody listening to this has read John Baker's piece. You'll remember him as the backup catcher last year. He wrote a piece on just kind of like this new conduct in baseball. It's not the right term for it, but and I think that a lot of people are like kind of see it as like a negative Latin influence, you know. But I thought it was a really interesting piece. It was interesting to hear about it from a player's perspective. So I would encourage you to find it. And I can't even, was that on Grantland? I can't even remember where that was.
I think so. That sounds right.
But I don't know. I love it. You know, I love this stuff. I think we as Cubs fans have been miserable for the last few years. And now it's time to have fun. And this team, they are kids. They're having fun, and baseball can be fun. It doesn't have to be serious. And I've definitely changed my stance on this over the last few years. And it's not just because of this team. I think if you listen to our episodes when we started in 2009, I remember complaining, and I remember there were certain relievers, especially that, or closers that really irritated us. I really enjoy it now. I enjoy the bat flips. I enjoy the celebrations. I like this team having a personality. And I was listening to another podcast talk about this. I think it was Effectively Wild. And they talked about how it's kind of like baseball players are taking the clubhouse celebration and doing it on the field and, you know, for the fans to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's kind of they're walking a little bit of a fine line there. I mean, it is super fun for us to be able to see what is normally unseeable.
Right.
Maybe. But also, I mean, they are going to be stepping on some toes in doing that, which I guess I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, like if you look at what Pedro Strop did with the White Sox, you know, when it was after Alexi Ramirez was wagging his fingers and shaking his head at him and stuff, and was it, I can't remember who they struck out, who Strop struck out, I can't remember who it was, but anyways, I mean, they asked that player, like, is this did you take that as showing you up or whatever? And whoever it was just like, no, that's, you know, this is what baseball is. And he was excited and he got a big out. And this makes, I'm summarizing what he said, and hopefully I'm not mis-summarizing, but mis-paraphrasing. But he said, and basically that this is, it was good for, you know, it was good for the Cubs team to have that show of emotion. And, you know, I think players are less offended by it probably than fans are, because we're seeing a lot of this stuff around baseball, and I don't think we're seeing very much like traditional retaliation for those types of things. So I don't know. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think baseball needs to be fun. I think if baseball is like old and stuffy and everything, baseball is going to lose its clout with the younger generations even more. And if this is what it takes for kids to enjoy the game, if a bat flip is what it takes, then I'm all about it. I think it's fun. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, we want the game to live on into posterity, and yeah, you're right that this might be a key component or key, I don't know, maybe even development for it to continue on.
Yeah. And it's not like everything's so out of control right now. You know, there's not like, I mean, there's some home plate celebrations. I mean, how wasn't it? There wasn't the Prince Fielder one not that long ago where like he came and like jumped on home plate and all the other players fell all around him. And like everybody got so pissed off about that, you know? And it's like, I don't think that would be that big of a deal now, but it's not like there's like a synchronized celebrations, you know, like somebody hits a single and they have to do like a dance at first base. You know, it's not like touchdown dances or anything. I just think this is fun.
Was this a step in that direction?
I don't think so. But we want to know what you think about this, you know, just kind of new baseball, I guess that's what we'll call it. I don't know, just this development. And we're seeing a Cubs team, and there was no reason for the Cubs to do this in the last 3 or 4 years. So maybe this development has just kind of been like building up for a couple of years, and we've been totally oblivious to it because we haven't seen it from our own team. But I'm just really interested in if you're listening, what you think about this. So if you have our app, we have a free iOS and Android app. You can tap on contact the show and then call the show. Or if you don't have our app, you can call the voicemail line, and it's 309-517-0624. That's 309-517-0624. And just tell us what you think about this stuff.
And by the way, the article we referenced by John Baker is entitled "Playing the Right Way?" And so search that on Google. It's on a foxsports.com website called Just a Bit Outside.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so we have some listener questions. We'll get through those. This first one comes from Adam from Los Angeles, originally from Galesburg, so that's cool. I wonder if he spent time at Duffy's. But Adam says, "Hey guys, maybe I've noticed this more because I don't live in the Cubs market, but it feels like most of the articles in print and online lately really focus a lot on the Cardinals and Pirates and not as much on the Cubs. I feel like the Cubs aren't getting the national attention that other teams are. A great example of this is the regional Sports Illustrated cover this week rather than a national cover like the Cardinals got last week. Personally, I don't mind it, and I don't mind it, and I'm fine with the spotlight off them for the time being. That will likely change come the end of September, but I'm wondering if it's something anyone else has noticed and what your thoughts are." I would say it's the opposite. I think the Cubs are getting a lot of attention, and but then again, we live in Cubs country, you know, and so
sure.
It's hard for me to say. I know that Cubs fans... You know, it's kind of funny because I go into high schools for my job, and the last 3 or 4 years, there's been some casual Cubs conversation, not that big of a deal. And like Andy, I walk into your school and I'm greeted every time by a lady that yells, "Go Cubs!" Like, I just think Cubs fans are really excited about it, and I'm hearing a lot more Cubs fans talk about this team. But I don't know. I think the national attention is on the Cubs right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm not, I don't really pay attention to like ESPN and
right. I don't either.
Know, whatever that's Fox fair. Highlight show. So I can't really speak to that. I am a Sports Illustrated subscriber, but yeah, I think it is. It's kind of minimal. I'm surprised a little bit that they're not getting more right now, but I got to say, you know, brace yourself. If in September the Cubs do well against the Cardinals and the Pirates, then they're really, really going to grab the attention of the national media if they haven't before then. So
Adam says that he doesn't really mind that the spotlight is off them for the time being. Do you think that the spotlight would hurt or help this team? Do you think that it would hurt them?
Well, I mean, I think it could, you know, I mean,
I kind of trust Madden. I kind of trust Madden to be able to deflect some of that and kind of get them in the right place.
Well, sure. I mean, we talked about how they're young. They don't really, you know, they don't really have the full scope of what's going on perhaps in their minds. But I think given more attention, it could become a little bit of an issue. And that's where it is going to be very important for Madden to help them maintain the feel that they've had all year.
Yeah. Yep. So I got an email from Victor, and he asked us to mention a project that the Elite Cubs fans Facebook page is putting on. It's with the backing of Joe Madden and other people. And there was recently an ESPN segment, you may have seen it, and about Madden and what he's doing with the Hazleton integration project there in Pennsylvania. And, you know, just what he's doing for his community and stuff. And so this group, the Elite Cubs fans, they decided to try to raise money to send 100 kids from the Hazleton Integration Project to their first Cubs game when the Cubs go to Philadelphia to play the Phillies on September 11th. And so they've met half of their goal in 1 week, and they're just trying to get the word out. And they're not really like, you know, Victor wanted to make sure that we communicated that they're not begging for people to join their Facebook page or begging for money or anything like that. But just go check it out. It's HazletonIntegrationProject.com. And what they're doing is they're basically trying to, I guess, give these kids like a good experience. You know what I mean? Like, especially in their first Major League Baseball game, their first Cubs game. And because Joe Madden means so much to that town and to this project, they're asking that you can write a letter to one of these kids. You can send an old jersey, he said, unless it's a Schlitter jersey. or if you want to, you can donate, and they have a GoFundMe page. So it's GoFundMe.com/ElitecubsFans. And so, that's a good project to get behind, a good cause. And, I was thinking I have some old, it's not even old, but it's, you know, you buy stuff for your kids and then they like outgrow it in like 3 weeks. So I've got a lot of, Cubs stuff I was thinking I should send out there for those kids.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So again, check it out. It's GoFundMe.com/ElitecubsFans. And if nothing else, I mean, you know, write these kids a letter and maybe just wish them a good time and, you know, just make it as memorable as possible for these kids. We got a tweet here from Justin, who is at @A_filthy_slob. And Justin says, can you guys talk about the Iowa TV blackout situation, how it sucks, and what the F a person can do to watch the Cubs in Iowa? Kurt is kind of our resident blackout person and our resident Iowa resident. He's not here on this episode, but yeah, basically the blackouts suck. And I think, you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago where there's kind of like some cracks forming in that blackout deal where I believe I didn't research this a lot, so hopefully I don't get the details wrong, but I believe it's like the Fox Sports games, I think those will not be blacked out. Like now the Cubs are with Comcast Sportsnet, so I think theirs will be yet. But anyways, at least we're seeing like some change in that blackout situation. But this year, yeah, it sucks. I wasn't able to watch the last two games because they were WGM broadcasts, and I'm not able to watch those. And so those I've listened to on the radio, and it's really noticeable here. You know, during this stretch where I want to watch Jake Arrieta pitch and I want to watch Kyle Schwarber bat, and I'm not able to do that. And so it sucks. I mean, there's no getting around it. But it was like easier to deal with early in the season because you just knew there was a lot of baseball yet to be played. And right now when things are really exciting, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
We do have a message that I got this afternoon, this evening, and I want to read this real quick. It had something to do with this topic, and this is from John, and he said, might want to let folks know that they just lowered the price of MLB.TV premium today to $9.99 for the rest of the season. And he mentioned that this is a gift to him and people like him that live out of state and out of the blackout range. And I will say, Justin, there are ways around that blackout thing if you subscribe to MLB.TV. And I'll just leave it at that. If you do a little research, you can figure out how to get around it. Another one here from Adam, and says, I just can't help but be grateful about this season. And I'm sure a lot of that feeling is because the lows were so low in 2012. I looked back at the roster this morning and yikes. If you all were to take a look back at that season and compare it with this season, clearly everything is different. But I bet there is a truly positive, scary stat about the margin of difference between 2012 and 2015 that would illustrate just how grateful we should all feel. Did you have a chance to? I found a couple scary stats, and they weren't hard to find. I didn't have to dig very, very much.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Well, so in 2012, the Cubs had 61 wins, and we're still in August, and the Cubs have 12 more wins than that right now.
And yeah, they had 101 losses.
Right. Here's one for you. The leader in WAR in 2012 for the Cubs was Darwin Barney, who is now in AAA for the Dodgers.
Oh, man. Oh, and that was the Brian LaHare.
Right. So Brian LaHare was, he had the second most home runs on the team. He had 16. The leader was Soriano with 32. But I was kind of looking at LaHare's 16. So only one player had more than him. And this year, the Cubs will probably have at least six players with more home runs than Brian LaHare had in 2012.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, that was like, I seriously looked for about 45 seconds and found those. And I was like, yep, that's, I don't want to think anymore about 2012. I don't want to.
Yeah, super depressing. Yeah, I mean, season is so delightful. And then you compare it to that and it's like, dang, I mean, it's a wonderful life.
right. Another Adam. It's kind of funny. We had three emails today from different Adams.
What happens when you add them up?
Yeah. God. So he says one of the disadvantages of living on the East in the East Coast time zone, the Eastern time zone, is that playoff games run really late into the night, and they often don't end until 11:30 or midnight, sometimes later. That's not a problem for me, but I also have two kids who are Cubs fans. They are 10 and 7. As much as I'd like them to stay up late and watch all the games, I simply can't let them do it on a school night and expect them to do well the next day. So here's my question. What are some good rules to set for them if the Cubs make the playoffs? For example, if the Cubs make the wild card game, do I let them watch it all, knowing that there could be many playoff games and many late nights afterwards? I think if the Cubs have the opportunity to clinch the World Series, I have to let them stay up no matter what, right? Even if the game lasts until 2 a.m. I mean, people have lived their whole lives and have never seen them win the World Series. But what about the division series? The Cubs were just there in 2008, and so surely it'll happen again soon. Right now, I think I'll let them watch any game where the Cubs can clinch, but only the first few innings of others. What do you think? So,
I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable, that last statement there. But like, if the Cubs say they played the Pirates in the wild card play-in and they won, and they played the Cardinals in the next round, wouldn't those games start at 7?
Yeah, but I mean, let's keep in mind, so, there's like, usually a lot
8 o'clock start.
Right, 8 o'clock for him.
It'd be an 8 o'clock start for him.
You could easily see a playoff game going 3.5 hours. I mean, the pitching changes, the commercials, the everything. So,
okay, yeah, so I see the problem, and I think, yeah, I think that wild card play-in, let them stay up late.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my daughter's 8, and she would definitely want to watch playoff games. And I, to be honest, I'd want to watch them with her. Like, you know, if I'm at home, I definitely want to be watching them with her. I think I think what I would do, and I think you kind of mentioned this, is I would probably, the wild card game, yes, I would let her stay up and watch that. And then I think I'd maybe let her stay up for maybe about half of like the first game of the series. And then if it came down to them being able to clinch, I think I would let her stay up for those games until it was like, you know, if it was like they were going to lose a clinching game, I'd send her on to bed. But, and then if they came back, I'd hurry up and get her back up. But yeah, man, I hope that is a problem that we have. I hope that's a scenario that we face.
Oh man. Can you imagine the Cubs winning the pennant?
Oh my gosh.
Even, I mean, fantastic thought.
Oh my gosh. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, just this last month is going to be so much fun, but I mean, if they can get into that wild card game, that's going to be a blast. So,
yeah.
All right. One more here from Ant at Chanceroni. I hope I'm saying that right on Twitter. It says, question for the show. In hockey, you have a captain and two alternatives. Who would you choose to fill these positions on the 2015 Cubs?
Captain and two alternate captains. Yep. Well, I think Rizzo is the captain, don't you?
That's who, yeah. I think Rizzo's your captain.
Right.
So, alternates. Since I just kind of sprung this question on you, how about I'll give mine and then you can decide whether or not you agree or disagree. For my two alternates, I would have Montero and Lester.
Yeah, I think one of my other ones would have to be Lester for sure. And I think the other one's going to be LaStella since he's ASG worthy. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, maybe. Yeah, maybe David Ross.
Yeah, I think maybe more Montero just because he's more the everyday catcher.
Yeah.
Like, I think Ross can kind of assume a leadership role without that designation.
Title.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying you think that these guys need to be starters?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Montero means a lot to this team, and I think he's out there catching everyone but Lester, so.
Sure. I could see Dexter. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick with Rizzo and then Montero and Lester, but.
All right.
I think there's other. I'm not belittling your choice there, Andy.
No, you are. You're belittling my choice.
you're right. I am.
All right. Now that we have that figured out.
All right. So let's finish this episode then. All right. So that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters, and Patreon helps us pay the podcasting bills. And it helps us make equipment and technology improvements to the podcast. And it helps us do IVMV events. So your support just, you know, helps give everybody a better IVMV experience. So you can join the Patreon campaign by pledging just $1 a month, or that's where the pledging levels start. And really, $1 a month is just, it's such a little amount, you won't even know it's gone and going to the podcast. And that $1 a month does definitely help us. So the Cubs wrap up this series with the, oh, I should mention how you can get to the Patreon campaign. It is patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. So the Cubs wrap up this series with the Giants on Thursday, and then they head to Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. We will be back Sunday night to talk about all of those games. And until then, go Cubs. We're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.
Hey guys, this is Mark Walker from Arlington Heights in the Chicago area. I just finished watching the replay of Chris Bryant's walk-off winner on Monday about 6 times. That takes a listen to your show, and I had a question from the Saturday show about whether the Cubs should play a wildcard game at home or on the road. My opinion is at home, although I do understand the dangers of something going wrong early. I think it's for 2 reasons. One is that I just think Chicago Cubs fans deserve a home playoff game. And if that game is played on the road and God forbid they lose, then you got to wait a whole other year before you get a chance to see a playoff game at Wrigley. And it's been way too long since we've been able to see that. And second of all, as is becoming increasingly clear over the last couple weeks, Chris Bryant is really, really good at Wrigley. He's good everywhere, but he's especially good at Wrigley. And I really want to see him at his fullest capacity. And so far, that's been showing itself at Wrigley Field. I think as of today, he has 17 of his 20 homers at Wrigley or something like that. And I think that's a big advantage for the Cubs to have him at 100%. So thanks for taking my call. It's a great show. Appreciate everything you guys do. And go Cubs, go.
Hey, I don't know if you guys were looking for a voicemail muscle flex, but it doesn't matter. The Cubs gonna play home or away, because they're just gonna blow it like they do every year. Whatever. Bye.
Hi, this is Stuart from St. Louis, and I wanted to respond to the whether the Cubs should play the wild card game at home or on the road. And I am decidedly in favor of playing it at home. If you look at the Cardinals, Pirates, and Giants, all of their home away team ERA splits are decidedly in favor of that there are better pitchers at home, including the Giants, who have an ERA that's 1.28 higher away from the Giants stadium. And all their OPSs are pretty much better at home, whereas the Cubs are pretty much almost identical numbers. Their home and their away ERA splits are only 0.03 different, and their OPS home and away difference is 0.007 difference. So with the Cubs basically being just as good at home on the road, I would much rather play the game at home and force the other teams to play worse, to have worse numbers and worse matchups. Bye.
Hey guys, calling to answer the question that you posted on Facebook today. Would you rather have the Cubs play the one game play in here or away because of the fans? And, you know, I think somebody was a little confused about what the question was. So I kind of answered them on Facebook and said, you know, Cubs fans can really be Debbie Downers when the Cubs, you know, kind of have some struggles or it looks like it's going to be an uphill battle. I was at Lester Doubting last week against the Tigers. And, you know, granted, it wasn't good and he did get rocked early, but you know, the Cubs are down 3 runs in the second and fans were a little restless. Once that grand slam got hit, it was literally like somebody sucked the fun out of the place. And me and my friends and a few people, we're in the bleachers, are kind of like, come on, man, this team, if they would have stopped them at 7, this team easily could score 8. And they did, you know, and say if they would have stopped them, they would have won the game. So, I mean, I have faith enough in this group of power hitters that they can get there. So I kind of feel like, you know, there's no way that I could say as a fan, I wouldn't want it to be played at Wrigley, because when the Cubs are doing well, our fans are the best 10th man in baseball, but when they aren't, you know, not so much. And I could see it. I could feel it. I could see the players' kind of body language and just the way they were kind of reacting to the fan reaction. That day was awful. And I even said to my friend, you know, man, imagine if this is the playoffs, you know, you're going to help the Cubs lose here. Just with the attitude, like as fans, we have to come there and, you know, have faith in the Cubs and not, you know, make the stink of the past on these new young players that are out there having fun and doing and really doing their best. And just really, in my opinion, a boon for the city right now. So I still have to say I'd want it at Wrigley because I'd fingers crossed that the Cubs would just come out and kill it and then the fans would be going bananas. But I could see an argument against it. All right, guys, peace.